Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects we want to discuss on the program this week. The first is how Donald Trump, once again, has been relentlessly pressuring Bibi Netanyahu to freeze all Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, which proves that Trump is a disaster for Israel, just as bad as Barack Hussein Obama. Terrible for Israel. And the second subject we want to discuss is a subject that we haven't discussed on these programs for years now, but I think that we should bring it up again, and that's how eating healthy can lead to a longer life, because we want our fellow JTFers to live healthy lives and long lives. So we're going to discuss nutrition and eating and good living habits, because again, it's something that could potentially save people's lives. But first, the situation in Israel. Donald Trump has repeatedly and publicly pressured Netanyahu and Israel to freeze Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. And we now find out that there was a telephone conversation a year ago between Trump and Netanyahu that proves that even in their private communications, Trump has been brutally and relentlessly pressuring Bibi. Now, it doesn't take much to get Bibi to cave in. He caves in like a cheap fan. He folds like a cheap fan. I think that's the expression. And he has been freezing Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem anyway for 9 years. But he's been under pressure from people in Israel to start rebuilding again, to give the Jews a chance to rebuild again in their ancient, historic homeland. Every time he's under that type of pressure, and every time there's any possibility of allowing new Jewish building to begin, Trump comes in and calls him up and starts pressuring him and says, I don't want you building there. I don't want you doing this. Which, again, is just as bad as Obama. There is nothing that gives Trump any advantage as far as Israel is concerned, anything positive over Obama. It's the same Obama policies of forcing Israel into a situation where she's not going to have enough Jews in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem to prevent the creation of an independent Palestinian state. And by the way, there is no Palestine. There are no Palestinians. There has never been a Palestinian people in history. There's never been a Palestine in history. All of that is an Arab lie and Arab propaganda. But they want to create a so-called Palestinian state, which would really be an Arab Muslim terrorist entity right in the heart of biblical Israel. And it would be national suicide for the Jewish state. Israel would be only 6 to 9 miles wide. It would be national suicide for Israel. And this is what Trump is pushing for. The only reason we haven't had this yet, Netanyahu is willing to do it also. The only reason we haven't had the creation of such a state and such an insane national suicide plan being put into effect, God forbid, is because Hashem, God, has been protecting his people by giving us Arabs, Arab leaders, who are stupider than the Jewish leaders, who are even dumber than the Jews. And the Jews are very dumb when it comes to their survival. There are brilliant people when it comes to science and literature and art and music and medicine and research and technology and business. They're brilliant in all of those areas, brilliant beyond any other people. Nobody even comes close to them, way beyond any other people on the face of the earth in all of those areas. But when it comes to their own survival, the Jews are the stupidest people, very stupid people. And miraculously, and this is a true miracle, this is a true ness from Hashem, a true miracle, Hashem has given us Arabs who are behaving even more stupidly than the Jews. And the Arabs have a chance here to create a situation where Israel will be indefensible. And they have cowardly, treacherous, backstabbing, low-life Israeli leaders like Netanyahu, Bennett, Lieberman, Deri, all of whom would give in to this pressure. And yet they don't move on it. They make crazy demands. They don't move on it. They do crazy things. They reject offers that are made that would be suicide for Israel. This is a miracle. This is God protecting his people. But if not for that, Trump and Netanyahu would already be pushing Israel to the brink of suicide. And the danger exists that this can eventually become a reality, because eventually we can have Arab leaders who will be smart enough. Eventually you can get an Anwar el-Sadat, who was wise enough, the Egyptian snake, who was wise enough to take advantage of Israeli insanity. And he got all of Sinai. He got all of Sinai in exchange for a worthless piece of paper that he signed with Menachem Begin. If, God forbid, we get an Arab leader like that in Ramallah, that's the Jewish state will be in grave danger and the Jewish people will be in grave danger. That's why we want facts on the ground. We're not interested in declarations of moving the embassy to Jerusalem. Those things are worthless to the Jewish people. We need to have as many Jews as possible living in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. If there were 2 million Jews living in Judea, Samaria, and Eastern Jerusalem, there'd be no chance of creating a so-called Palestinian state. There'd be no chance of Israel being forced to give up that land. It would be impossible to force 2 million people out. It would never happen. We don't have that because of Netanyahu and because of successive Likud governments. The phony right in Israel is worse than the left. Here's the story from Axios.com on exactly what takes place when Donald Trump speaks to Benjamin Netanyahu in a telephone call. And here's what it says, and I quote, "In a phone call last year with Bibi Netanyahu, President Trump said something that shocked some of the people who helped prepare his briefing materials for the conversations. According to three sources familiar with the call, Trump asked Bibi bluntly if he actually cares about peace or not." And here's what it says. The details. Trump was pressing Bibi on the importance of striking a deal, quote-unquote, for Mideast peace. He'd read reports about Bibi planning to build additional settlements to please his conservative base in Israel. Trump thought Bibi was unnecessarily angering the Palestinians. So in the course of a longer conversation that was mostly friendly and complimentary, he bluntly asked Bibi whether or not he genuinely wants peace. When Axios shared the details of this conversation with the White House before publishing it, a senior official said, quote, "The president has an extremely close and candid relationship with the prime minister of Israel and appreciates his strong efforts to enhance the cause of peace in the face of numerous challenges," unquote. Notice he says candid relationship. They didn't deny it. The White House did not deny it. They didn't say this isn't true, this didn't happen. They said it's a candid. Candid means a very frank relationship. That's diplomatic double talk for, yes, we've had words about this subject. And look at this. And Press Secretary Sarah Sanders added, she's that ugly beast who is the daughter of Mike Huckabee, and she's Trump's ugly press secretary. Here's what she said, quote, "The president has great relationships with a number of foreign leaders, but that doesn't mean he can't be aggressive when it comes to negotiating what's best for America," unquote. In other words, Sarah Sanders, who's supposed to be an evangelical Christian like her phony father, Mike Huckabee, she says he's aggressive with Israel because it's best for America for Israel to freeze Jewish building. Because she was asked about, did he pressure Israel to freeze Jewish building? That's what he was asked about. That's what the reporters asked. Is this story true? And she says he doesn't hesitate. He's going to be aggressive. The exact language is, "It doesn't mean he can't be aggressive when it comes to negotiating what's best for America." That's best for America to create a Muslim terrorist state in the heartland of biblical Israel? It's best for America to go against what God commands the Jewish people to do in the Middle East? That's best for America, and to work against God's people in the Middle East and create a prescription for national suicide for the Jewish state? Donald Trump is preventing, together with Netanyahu, but he's creating a situation where Netanyahu can use the excuse to prevent hundreds of thousands of Jews from moving into Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. The implications for Israel's future are tremendous. Trump is doing terrible, tremendous damage to Israel every single day. And you Jews that support Trump and that supported him have committed a crime against your own people. We warned you that Trump was no good. We warned you he was bad on Israel. We warned you he's as bad on Israel as Obama and Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter and all the other terrible anti-Israel presidents and presidential candidates that have run. We warned you about this, and you've ignored this, and you continue to support this orange baboon. This is a real crime against the Jewish people. It's a crime that we have a prime minister, a cowardly, disgusting prime minister like Netanyahu, who immediately gives in to this pressure. Netanyahu can tell him to go to hell. There's nothing he can do to Israel. Tell him to go straight to hell. That's what Netanyahu should do. Netanyahu can make Israel fully independent and can do what Israel and can have Israel do what has to be done to create a secure Jewish state and to have a healthier relationship with other nations in the world. Netanyahu can do that easily, but doesn't do it because he's a wimpy, pathetic coward, a disgrace to the Jewish people. And like Trump, Netanyahu is all a bluff. He makes promises that he never keeps. He has promised to expand Jewish building in Judea and Samaria, and he ran against a settlement freeze in Jerusalem. This was one of the things he always ran against when he runs for prime minister, and yet he has initiated a worse building freeze for the Jews in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria than any prime minister before in Israeli history. Worse than left-wing, than openly left-wing prime ministers. Because he's a bluff and a fraud and all hot air, just like Trump is here in the United States. I mean, look at Trump. He's going to build a wall. He's going to take care of the budget problems. He kept running against Obama, building up this massive debt. He is increasing the national debt at a much faster rate than Obama was. We now have $1 trillion annual budget deficits under Trump. This country is eventually going to go bankrupt if we continue on this path. Trump is drastically increasing the rate of spending that we had under Obama, under Bush, under other presidents. This is the worst we've ever seen. And remember, build that wall, build that wall. That was his number one promise. That was the number one promise in his campaign. That was the one thing that his supporters said. If he doesn't give us that, then we're going to... That's one thing he has to do. It's already almost a year and a half into his presidency. Not one penny for the wall. Not one brick has been laid. There is no wall. Nothing is being built. It's all lies. It's all a bluff. And his supporters, it's as if nothing happened. It doesn't bother them. It's as if everything is wonderful with them. They're still enthusiastically supporting him. I mean, how retarded can people be? That's the first subject we wanted to discuss. Once again, we see more proof of the fact that Trump is terrible for Israel. He is a danger to Israel. He is stabbing Israel in the back, left and right. And you might say, well, Netanyahu, we have a bad prime minister there. Anyway, that's true. We have a very bad prime minister there. But Netanyahu gives in to pressure. There was a lot of pressure on Netanyahu in Israel to start building again. He was under a lot of pressure to do that. And Trump comes in right away when that happens and puts American pressure on him from the other side, so he's able to say, no, I can't build. The President of the United States asked me not to. The President of the United States is pressuring me. He's telling me not to. What can I do? And this, you know, that's unfortunately in the Israeli establishment, that's enough to stop the building. That's enough to continue the building freeze. Of course, if Moshe Feiglin were prime minister once again, that wouldn't happen. Moshe Feiglin would not allow Trump or anyone else to tell him that Jews are not allowed to live in their own homeland. That wouldn't happen. And there's nothing Trump could do. There's nothing Trump could do to Israel if Israel starts building again. Nothing. Nothing. What's he going to do? The only leverage he would have would be to try to cut foreign aid from the United States to Israel. And that would be the best favor he could do for Israel because the so-called foreign aid hurts Israel. The second subject we want to bring up, and before we get to the second subject, I just want to say, what's the solution? The solution is we've got to get Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party in the Knesset, in the Israeli parliament, in the next election. We're working hard to do that. We're exposing all these things we speak to you about. We're exposing this before the people of Israel. 60,000 Jews, Israeli Jews a month, at least 60,000 Israeli Jews a month are seeing our videos. So we're reaching tens of thousands of Jews every month with our message now. And we want to reach hundreds of thousands, but we're reaching tens of thousands. And that's one of the reasons why there's pressure on Bibi to build. We create pressure from the bottom. And that creates pressure on politicians and leaders and others to do things. JTF is so essential to Israel and her survival. It's so important that people help us. And we get such a meager budget. And with such a meager budget, we do so much. If only we had a decent-sized budget, we could reach huge numbers of people in Israel. It's because it's a small country. And we can make a tremendous difference that would change world history, because if you change the history of Israel, you change the history of the world. Israel is the most important country in the world. More important than America, the great superpower. More important than giant countries in the world. Israel is more important because God says so in the Bible. The future of the world and the decisions made on whether to redeem the world or punish the world, those decisions are made based upon what happens in that little country of Israel. God himself says he will bless all nations and families of the earth, bless based on what happens in Israel, and curse them based on what happens in Israel. That's what God says. And he is the true ruler of the world. The second thing I want to speak about is something we used to speak about on the programs that we did, the ASJTF programs that we did. But we haven't done so in years, and I think it's about time we did it. I've done it occasionally on our Hebrew videos, but I think it's important that we do so. And that's the importance of living a healthy life. Because we want people who are watching this, we want our fellow JTFers to live a long and healthy life. We want Jews and righteous Gentiles in general to live a healthy life and a long life. There are three things that I believe are the key to living a healthy and long life. Three practical things you could do, three physical things. Of course, spiritually, I believe that praying and following the commandments, the mitzvot and the Torah of Hashem, and all of that's very important, and that certainly helps. That will help, because Hashem will bless you and protect you if you do what he commands you to do. So that's spiritual. There's a spiritual thing you could do, which is praying and living your life according to the Torah. But there are also three physical things you could do, three physical, practical things that God gives us the free will to do that can lead to longer life, that are proven to lead to longer life. Number one is eating healthy. Number two is doing exercise, daily exercise, making sure that your body is in good shape. And number three, less tension. If you're like me, I'm the type of person, I let all my tension out. I'm not a very tense person in general, by the way. I'm very hyper, I'm very active. But I'm not a very tense person. I'm not a very nervous person. you know, even very bad news, I think, better than most people. But again, because I believe in Hashem. I have emunah. I believe in Hashem. I have faith in Hashem. And we've got to do that. You've got to have less tension in your life. You've got to try to be more relaxed. That doesn't mean that you don't do things and you don't face challenges and you don't work hard. You should do all of those things. But try to, everything you do, you should do with less tension. You should try to roll with the punches. That's what Rabbi Kahana once told me when I was a teenager. Chaim, you got to learn to roll with the punches. You got to learn to take it and accept it and keep fighting the best you can. But getting all aggravated is not going to help you. If you feel aggravated or you feel pray, but don't get aggravated. Don't get yourself all aggravated and tense. That's not going to help you. You've got to learn to roll with the punches. You've got to learn to have less tension in your life. And exercise, of course, speaks for itself. People know how important exercise is, I think. People understand that people who do exercise, people who walk, people who do physical exercises, weightlifting, walking, swimming, other things, if you do that, you're doing your body a big favor. And you will extend, in most cases, you'll extend your life. But we're going to speak about eating healthy now, because that's something that for many people is difficult to do, because we have so much unhealthy food and so much junk that people think that, by the way, a lot of the junk food people think it's healthy. People think it's good for you. People think eggs are good for you. Eggs are not good for you. Egg yolks have tremendous amounts of cholesterol that are very dangerous and that do cause clogging of the arteries and that do cause heart disease, God forbid, and that do cause all types of damage to the body. Egg yolks are not healthy. The egg white is healthy. The white of the egg is healthy. But egg yolks are not healthy because of the very high levels of cholesterol. People should not eat eggs. You shouldn't eat eggs. You could eat the egg whites, but not the egg yolks. And in general, you should be very strict about what you put in your body. This is like putting poison in your body. This is like killing yourself if you put unhealthy food in your body. It makes a big difference. You don't want things that are going to give you high levels of cholesterol. You don't want saturated fat. You don't want sugars and salts and other things that give you high blood pressure and sugar causes all types of problems in the body. You don't want that. It is not good for you. I'll just give you a few hints, by the way, on things that you could eat. First of all, every day I eat a vegetable salad with green leafy vegetables. And romaine lettuce, by the way, is healthy. The other type of lettuce, the I think it's called iceberg lettuce. Is that what it's called? I don't even remember now in English what you call it. Iceberg lettuce. It does not have the nutritional value. It is not really very good for you, the other lettuce. Romaine lettuce is the healthy lettuce. That's the really good lettuce. And green leafy vegetables are very, very important. And the number one, here's a great important tip that you should have in your dinner and every day you should have this. Every day make sure to put this in your dinner one way or another. Whether you like it or not, I happen to think it's delicious, but if you don't think it's delicious, doesn't matter. Eat it, it's good for you. Kale. Kale is the king of nutrition. Kale is so packed with nutrition, it's a miracle food. Look it up on the internet. Look it up. You'll see that kale has more nutritional value than any other type of vegetable, and it's the king. It is the king. Kale is healthier than spinach, healthier than romaine lettuce. Romaine lettuce and spinach are very healthy, but kale is number one. Broccoli is very healthy. And there are many other types of green leafy vegetables that are very good for you. But kale is the king. You should really eat kale. Eat plenty of kale. It's very, very good for you. And you could put it cooked also in your meals. That's what I do. The dinner time, you eat it cooked. And it is good for you. It is good for you even when it's cooked. And there are things you can do. And of course, you should eat fruit salads. You should have a fruit salad every day. You don't want to overdo it on the fruit because, you know, fruit, of course, does have high levels of sugar. There are many important aspects to fruits that are good for you, but you don't want to overdo it because of the sugar content. If you have a choice, if you don't want to eat too much of one or the other, if you have two salads, I eat one fruit salad, one vegetable salad, but the vegetable salad is more important. The vegetables by far are the healthiest and are the most important thing in the diet. That is number one. That should be number one in your diet, the vegetable salad. And you should put vegetables in your dinner as well. And you know, for dinner, if you eat chicken, it should be without the skin. Never eat fried food. Never. Fried food is poison. Very, very bad. Very, very bad. The chicken should be broiled or baked, but never, never fried. No, actually baked. People bake it with breadcrumbs and other things that are unhealthy. You should have boiled or broiled chicken. And if it's moist, it's delicious if it's moist. And again, without the skin. The skin of the chicken is not healthy. And other things that you can do to make a big difference. If you eat pasta, make sure it's 100% whole wheat pasta. It's got to be 100. It has to say 100% whole wheat pasta, not durum. It's got to say 100% whole wheat pasta on the package. That makes a big difference. Regular pasta is very unhealthy. It is not good for you. It is pure junk that you're putting in your body, regular pasta. 100% whole wheat pasta is actually good for you. It's actually healthy. Of course, you don't want to overdo it because you put on weight, because whole wheat pasta, you gain weight just as you gain weight with regular pasta. But it's actually, if you eat it in moderation, if you eat a serving of 100% whole wheat pasta, that's actually healthy. So instead of eating regular pasta, eat 100% whole wheat pasta. Instead of eating white rice, which is very bad for you, it's filled with starch and very unhealthy things. Instead of eating white rice, eat 100% eat brown rice. If you eat brown rice, that's actually good for you. Brown rice is good for you. Potatoes. People think potatoes are fattening, they're no good for you. Potatoes are actually good for you. They're actually healthy. If you don't add butter, you should never eat butter, first of all. Butter is something, if you have it in your house, throw it out. You shouldn't eat butter. Margarine is very bad for you. All of those things are bad for you. A potato, without adding any, don't put anything on it. Don't put oils and don't put don't put butter or margarine on it, and don't put anything else on the potato. Just eat a regular plain potato. It's delicious. Boiled potatoes are delicious. Learn to, you know, your tastes. You can make things delicious. Your mind can turn something into delicious. You get used to it, and after a while, believe me, you're actually gonna want the food that right now you think, oh no, I want French fries. I don't want just a boiled potato. You're gonna actually learn to enjoy and look forward to eating the boiled potatoes, or to eating sweet potatoes, which are delicious. Sweet potatoes are delicious. Boiled potato, regular boiled potatoes, plain boiled potatoes are delicious and healthy. Brown rice, 100% whole wheat pasta. Oatmeal in the morning is very good for you. Oatmeal is healthy. Again, don't add things to it. Honey, by the way, breaks down like into your body just like sugar does. Honey is very unhealthy. Don't put any garbage on it. Oatmeal is delicious. You can have oatmeal. You could put some cinnamon on it. Cinnamon is not bad for you. There are things you can put on that are not bad. By the way, you should always check. If you don't know whether something's healthy or not, check it on the internet. Google it. But go to reliable sites. For instance, the Mayo Clinic lists foods and speaks about what's healthy, what's not. And there are other reliable sites. Sites that do actual research, that have actually seen the results of what happens when you eat certain types of food, that have done medical research, that have done clinical studies of large numbers of people over years and have seen the effect of eating these types of foods. Those are the places you want to get your information from on in terms of healthy eating. So always check. And when you see, a box of something or an ingredient and you're going to buy in the store something, check and see. You don't want saturated fat. You definitely want zero trans fat. Trans fat is poison. You don't want saturated fat. You don't want trans fat. You don't want cholesterol. You don't want salt, and you don't want sugar in there. You want as little as possible of all of those things, if any at all. You want as little as possible. By the way, the excuse people get, but you need sugar. You need this. You'll get more than enough. Believe me, you're getting 3 or 4 times as much as your body needs. You don't need it. You're getting much too much of it. That's the problem. Always check and try to go for the least fat, saturated fat, and definitely very little saturated fat, if any at all. Trans fat should be zero. Sodium or salt, sugar, things like that are not good for you. You should cut that down as much as possible. Check the ingredients whenever you buy anything. Also check for nutritional value. Now that also means no ice cream, no cake, no cookies, no candies. That is all poison. Chocolates, all poison. Sodas, that is poison. That's pure junk and garbage. You shouldn't even touch that stuff. As far as meat is concerned, meat is actually not good for you because it's high because of the fat content. It is not good for you. If you eat it in moderation, if you eat the meat like twice a week and not a large amount and not very fatty meat, you can get away with it. But if you're gonna eat meat on a regular basis, and especially if you eat garbage, real garbage like Frankfurters, you know, you eat garbagey food or deli meats, that's poison. That is pure poison. That you shouldn't touch that stuff. And I don't believe you should have dairy products. Why? Because dairy products, cheese and milk and other dairy products, are loaded with saturated fat and cholesterol. They are not good for you. They are not healthy for you. Yeah, I used to read about the Three Stooges, how they died. They used to love to eat cheese. They all died of heart attacks. I mean, Curly was the one who liked the cheese. The one who lived longer, I don't remember his name, but the one who lived longer actually didn't eat that junk. But the cheese, any type of cheese, don't believe low fat when they say low fat cheese, low fat milk. Don't believe it. What they're calling low fat is not low fat. It's still high fat. It's no good for you. Dairy products are not healthy for you. And most of all, you got to condition yourself. You got to condition yourself and tell yourself that you are eating to live. You're not living to eat. Some people live just to eat for their next meal. That's very dangerous, because then the most important thing is that whatever they think they're going to enjoy. And you know, sugar is addictive, and fried foods are addictive, and fatty foods are addictive, and unhealthy foods are addictive. They're not really delicious, by the way. They're really not delicious. It's just that you condition yourself to making it delicious. You can condition yourself to enjoying fresh, delicious salads without salad dressing, by the way. Salad dressing is not good for you. You can condition yourself to enjoying delicious, fresh vegetable salads. You can condition yourself to enjoying a nice, sweet fruit salad. You can condition yourself to enjoying all of the substitutes that I've mentioned to you, 100% whole wheat pasta, which by the way is delicious. It tastes, I don't really notice the big difference between that and regular pasta. Or brown rice instead of white rice, or broiled chicken without the fat, without the skin. All of these things, you can condition yourself to enjoying this type of food, and you'll be so much better off for it. Now, I don't believe in bread, but if you're going to eat bread on Shabbat, we eat some bread because we want to say hamotzi. If you're going to eat bread, it should be 100% whole wheat. Should be 100% whole wheat bread. Even then, I think, by the way, when it comes to bread, I think that the 100% whole wheat, I think even that, there are issues with that as well. But certainly regular bread is very unhealthy. Very unhealthy. Now, I know I've said a lot of things that go against the grain of what you want to hear, and you may think it sounds extreme. It's not extreme at all. What I'm saying is just common sense so that we live longer. It's not worth it. If this adds 10 or 20 good years to your life, that's not worth it. Without going to hospitals, without having surgery, without getting cancer, God forbid, or strokes, or heart disease, God forbid, that's not worth it. You'll look better and feel better and have more energy, and life will be better if you eat healthy food. And you'll save a lot of money because the unhealthy foods are also very expensive. The healthy diet, the healthy stuff that I'm giving you is cheaper. Is less expensive than the other garbage foods that you would buy. You'll save money. You'll lose weight. You'll look better. You'll feel better. You'll have more energy. There's so many pluses to it. It is worth it in every way. It's worth it 1,000% for you to be healthy. And of course, if there's anybody here watching this video who's smoking, that is complete insanity, complete suicide. Absolutely, it's like killing yourself. It is killing yourself. You should quit smoking. And I did videos on this in Hebrew, but you got to do it like an alcoholic, because you're an addict if you're smoking. Tobacco is an addiction, and you got to do it the same way with healthy food. By the way, healthy food is also something that you got to learn. You got to learn to do. You got to learn to eat. Unhealthy food can also be an addiction, and overeating can be an addiction. You got to do it one day at a time, just like an alcoholic. An alcoholic doesn't say to themselves, "I'll never drink again." An alcoholic says, "Today, I'm not going to take a drink. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but today I'm not going to take a drink." And if they're good for that day, then tomorrow they do the same thing one day at a time. Just one day. Your challenge is today. What are you going to do today? And if you can do that with smoking, and if you could do that with healthy eating, and if you could do that with exercise, and if you could do that with healthy living, it can make a big difference in your life. Now, you may say, what does this have to do with this, with what we're talking about with Israel? It has a lot to do with it, because we are commanded to have Ahavat Yisrael, love of our fellow Jews. And of course, we love righteous Gentiles. We're commanded to tell the truth and to be concerned about the well-being, the physical well-being and the spiritual well-being of our fellow human beings. That's part of our role in this world. So it is relevant in that respect. I know I don't speak about this frequently, but it is an important subject. I look at what we're doing in Israel, and I see the challenges and I see the difficulties that you know, because we're really, we're one of the only groups that are telling the truth in Israel. There are a few other groups that are telling the truth. But we're the main group that you could find from America. I mean, here in America, you don't find a group, an American Jewish group, that's raising money and advertising and reaching the people of Israel with a message of truth. This is one place where you, as Americans, American Jews and American Gentiles, can make a difference for Israel, and really make a difference and really help. Not these organizations like the UJA, which claim to raise money for Israel and then give all their money to the Arabs and to self-hating Jews. All their money goes to rotten, evil causes. Or Hadassah Hospital, where their money goes to training Muslim doctors and Muslim nurses and having 70-80% of their patients are Muslims, and they treat Jews like dogs in the hospital. And Muslims have taken over hospitals that are funded completely with Jewish money. It's a disgrace. I mean, that's what Jewish organizations do with their money. With JTF, you know that's not going to happen. With JTF, our money goes only to waking the people of Israel up and telling them the truth. And, you know, it's not just money. You're promoting us and spreading the word about us and making JTF an organization that has more support, and there's more awareness about JTF. All of that can make a difference. Let's fight together as a team. If we do, we can make this a better world, God willing. Until next week, for JTF, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.